These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour. Felger and Maz here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us whenever you like on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Download that from your app store. Tremendous product. Live stream pops right up, all the replays, the podcasts, all of that. All right, Murray, if you're listening on the radio side, gave you the latest on Gronkowski. It's down to his trainer and money's always most important. Did Ben Volen indicate whether they've come to agreements on those things?
No, obviously not. I mean, they're still, you know, he even alludes to the fact that this could not even happen until maybe the first week of the season.
Why?
Let me pull up the story.
What do you mean? This?
I mean, the new contract, if he gets a new deal. I mean, they have, it could not get done until week one.
Okay. To me, that's, you know, does Belichick give on Alex Guerrero, the trainer, and does Robert give on the money? Right? That's really the equation right there. Does Robert go over Belichick's head on the money? Would Belichick extend and give Gronkowski more money? Or would he hold a hard line with them, and would Robert come in and give him something? Like, so those are the dynamics there.
See, but I feel like at least with Gronk, a precedent was set last year. They know he's underpaid. They know that to just call him a tight end isn't fair because he's one of the great red zone weapons in the history of the game, let alone the current game. And so to me, like if they bump Gronk, at least they've done it before all this nonsense really sort of heated up.
So here's Jeff Howe in The Athletic. Jeff Howe says that, according to a source, that the arrival of Brady and Gronkowski was known for weeks, both by the players and the team. And then I love this line. This is so silly. And I love Jeff, but he says, it's unclear how Bill Belichick has felt about their respective absences during the first 7 weeks of voluntary offseason workout program, but he hasn't been left in the dark about their prolonged decision to avoid Gillette. So he's also in the loop. Belichick knew when they were showing up. But again, Jeff Howe writes, it's unclear how he felt about their absences, which is such a joke. A football coach asks you to show up to practice and you don't. How do you think he feels about it?
Like, I'm sure he's upset.
Why do we ask that question?
I mean, any football coach would be, let alone this one.
Of course, or if, you know, even maybe he's just apathetic because he's given up with this situation.
I mean,
that's still not good.
I mean, maybe he's accepted it. Maybe he's not going to raise this. I'm talking about Belichick now. Maybe Belichick's just accepted the situation. He's not going to make a stink about the situation. But a football coach, and I know they're voluntary, but the Pats are very serious about this time of year. And have always made it a priority for their players to be there. So Bill asks his players to be there for practice, and their most important player isn't. How does he feel about it? I wonder. Like, why do people bother with that? Of course, I told you before, Josh McDaniels betrayed Belichick on this. Because Josh McDaniels said a couple weeks ago, of course we want everyone in. So, like, of course. Yes, a coach wants their players there to coach them. Good God. But anyway, on Gronkowski, Jeff reported that the two sides have made significant progress on a reworked contract to the point where The Athletic reported he will likely play the upcoming season under new terms. It has not been disclosed when the contract will be finalized, though it's believed the final details are all that remain, and Gronk didn't want to participate in voluntary workouts and risk an injury before signing the deal. Well, now he's going to perform in mandatory stuff without signing a deal. He's going to be out there tomorrow. It's the same level of work.
Sure it is.
That risk is still there.
I mean, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was related to that until they get the deal done, he wasn't showing up, but he's obviously there now.
Yeah, this is from the Volen column that I'm referencing. A contract supposedly was going to be done by now since the one-year deadline has passed. Then again, nothing with the Patriots and contract is ever easy. The real deadline is week one of the regular season when Gronkowski starts drawing his weekly paychecks.
Okay, here's Ben Volen on Brady's return last night. What Brady has not done yet is practice with his teammates in Foxborough. Upset with Bill Belichick for a variety of reasons. The humiliation of Alex Guerrero, his body coach, Belichick's all work and no fun atmosphere, Brady's undervalued contract, and the baffling decision not to play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, Brady has purposely stayed away from voluntary offseason workouts. Again, upset with Belichick for a variety of reasons. Guerrero, the no fun atmosphere, the contract, and the Malcolm Butler decision. Of those four, do you think all four are valid?
No. I mean, he has a right to be annoyed at all four, but to
rank them.
Guerrero, contract. What was the one other than Butler?
No fun atmosphere and the Butler decision.
Butler and no fun atmosphere.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If it's the no fun atmosphere, then I'm even more aggravated with Brady than I thought I was. Don't do this now, Tom. After 18 years of putting in all the work and grinding it out, don't tell me now you're not having fun and you need a different atmosphere down there. Don't give me that crap, because I know you don't believe it. Because I know Brady is as much as anyone. And I know he's in the power positive thinking in all of this, Murray. I mean,
no, that should still be last. The only thing I would switch, I would go Guerrero Butler contract and then the fun and the atmosphere are last. Like, that shouldn't really matter.
I mean, if the fun is, I mean, I'm not telling you it's legit or not. I don't know. But if it is legit, that's ridiculous. Because Brady's willing to stick his nose in there and grind it out better than anyone. And now you're not. Now you need to have fun. Whee! You need power of positive reinforcement. Like, give me a break with that. Don't tell me that's one of the reasons you're staying away. I don't want to hear that. And even the Butler one, I don't want to hear it. So the coach screwed up. Yep. Yep. He screwed up, and he's not going to give you an explanation. Are you really surprised?
I mean, Guerrero and the contract are the only ones that can really be fixed going forward.
Exactly.
The other two can't be, so I can't imagine how the other two are deal breakers.
Volan writes that Team Brady, meaning his handlers or his family or who's ever whispering to the media, Team Brady has made it clear that the star quarterback is not pleased with the way things are going in Foxborough. Even after Brady won the power struggle with Belichick last fall, leading to the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo. As his wife Giselle Bundchen said in Tom vs. Time, he just wants to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun. God, I hate that. Volan writes that the message from Brady is clear. He's doing the exact minimum required of him this spring and nothing more.
See, that to me is what the message has been all along.
What a tough line.
I'll be there when I have to be there, but the optional stuff, you're on your own. I'm not coming.
The message is clear. He's doing the exact minimum required of him and nothing more. Brady's absence from the Patriots' OTAs has been noticeable. In past years, he could be heard from the sidelines instructing his receivers or working out the kinks with Josh McDaniels or chirping at defenders during team drills. Now, Brian Hoyer is the one leading the team during calisthenics. Hoyer is the one putting in extra time with his receivers and mentoring some of the new players. It's unclear how Belichick will treat Brady when he does return this week. Will Brady still get his usual amount of work, or will he be relegated to backup duty behind Hoyer as punishment for his absences? Brady will be behind schedule when he returns to practice tomorrow. He'll be meeting new teammates for the first time. Guys like running back Sony Michel and new targets Jordan Matthews, Cordell Patterson, and Troy Nicholas, who I've never heard of before until I read that. Who's Troy Nicholas? Anyway, Brady, you know what?
Is he the tight end?
I don't even know who the hell that is.
You know who's saying the same thing?
Brady.
Tom Brady.
Brady. Like, who are you? Brady will put in his 3 days of work this week at minicamp, and then he'll disappear again into his own world of family vacations and business events. The Patriots and the public won't see him again until training camp starts in July. There's more passing camps next week, by the way. They're just not mandatory. So there's things on the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, I think. And again, another media availability next week, although they're not mandatory. Is Brady going to skip out next week, too?
Oh, I bet you he will.
He's going to do these 3 days and then he's out? Seriously? He's going to do that?
What do you think he's doing?
Stick around. Stick around and just give him another week.
Oh, he's out of here. He's doing this mini and he's gone.
That's another finger to give.
God, I hate that. Yeah. Stick around.
Yeah, fell guy, I got 10 fingers. I'm going to give Bill all of them.
When I say I hate it, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe this is the same guy who lives and breathes and dies this stuff. Again, as has been pointed out, he went to every single practice, off-season practice, the last 4 years. Every single one. Now he's been to zero? So, one more thing I just want to read you is Matt Doloff on 95thesportshub.com. He raised a good point. Just an interesting angle, and that is, Brady's now trying to do the unprecedented, and just to reset, what he did last year is not unprecedented. Brett Favre at 40 had a similar kind of year and went deep. He went to the overtime of the NFC title game. He didn't quite make the Super Bowl like Brady did, but Favre went to the NFC title game to overtime after having an MVP caliber season at the age of 40. All right, now at 41, no one's done this thing at 41. So if Brady does it at 41, it'll be completely unprecedented. But he'll be totally on his own terms, and what I mean by that is doing things totally differently than he's done in the past. As Matt Doloff writes, this whole thing about him missing the spring, maybe you have a problem with it, maybe you don't. You know, people are split. But no matter which way you fall on that, this is a fact. It's a wild departure from the same player who said OTAs were super important and went to every practice. He's doing things differently. And can he keep doing it? Can he stay at the same level and have that kind of year, blowing off all this team stuff and doing things totally differently than he did in the past? So maybe that's a way to challenge himself or to shut people up or another thing to rally against. But That's just on the table.
So I don't rule out guys like him creating these challenges, whether it's conscious or subconscious or whatever, because that's how they are. Like, they got to finally constantly find new ways to do things and what have you. But Brady better hope that his play doesn't slip.
Exactly.
Because if his play slips, well, then it all, you know, sort of stems from, well, he's not as dedicated as he used to be. And again, I'm not even telling you that to me, it's all about his commitment to it. Like, I don't know if his ability has slipped or not, but if he's just not as locked in.
He's not working the same way. He has not bought into the team. He's not worked with the team. He's not subjugated himself to the coach and the team like he has in the past. These are all new things. He's made every offseason practice for 4 years in a row. Now he's been to none. So, let's see. Let's see how that pans out. Let's see how that works for him. And if he puts up another year like this at 41, having done it totally differently than he's done in the past, then that's another one for Brady. But, you know, I think those are part of the stakes.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, obviously, there's a voluntary part of our year. We don't have any control over that part of it. And as coaches, selfishly, we always want them all here because that's, you know, that's where we have the most fun and you enjoy working with them all. But I totally understand those things happen. It's happened here before. And I have no doubt that, you know, he's doing what he thinks is right for him and his family. And I completely respect that. I know he'll be ready to go. I know he'll be in good shape and good condition. I'm sure he's working really hard.
All right, that was Joshua Daniels. We want them all here, of course. So, of course, Belichick wanted these guys here. And, of course, Brady's going to be in good shape. Who's ever said he's going to be in bad shape? That's not the question.
See, Josh can get away with saying it because Tommy likes Josh.
Maybe so. Maybe so. All right. What to watch for tomorrow, to me, is does Bill screw around with Brady in terms of reps at all? You know, Brady's 7 weeks behind, and I put that in air quotes, but just, you know, Hoyer and other guys have been working from day one, and Brady's showing up now 7 weeks later. If this were any other player at any other position, Bill would have that player working with the twos or the threes or on a side field working his way back in with everybody else. Is he going to do that to Brady? Okay. Is Bill going to say anything? Because he's going to meet the media these next 3 days. That is any sort of side, sort of subtle dig that we could even read into and say, well, that's meant for Tom. Or he's going to play it totally straight. Is Tom going to speak? He doesn't have to, I don't think, but he certainly could. Are Bill and Brady going to do anything to just try and curb or shape the narrative and sort of, you know, put an end to the noise and fake it, you know, even just fake it?
Put an end to the Cold War.
You know, right, end the palace queue. And you know, even if you're play acting, it's so easy to do. It's so easy.
A handshake for the cameras would go a long
way. I told you this before. You know, the cameras are going to be out there for like 20 minutes at the start of every practice, as they usually are. Maybe it's longer, but there's cameras are out there for a set amount of time. So you know when the cameras are there. And like Bill and team stage stuff for those cameras routinely in the regular season. See that a player's out there or not out there, and then they do something different after the cameras leave. But they set up the media for their purposes. So here, you know when the cameras are there. You know the cameras are focused on Brady and the stretch line when Bill walks around twirling his whistle. All Bill has to do is stop with Brady. And Brady has to shake hands, dap it up, man hug.
Make sure one of those boom mic catches up. Good to see you. Look good.
Whatever. Yep. Just give the cameras that are there the picture of them shaking hands, dapping it up, man-hugging, just talking. And that helps shape the narrative. Bill can easily come out and say, yes, I've been in constant contact with Tom, and it's good to have him here, and just say something nice. And Brady could obviously do the exact same thing, and they could just, it would take 2 minutes of their time. And it would, a lot of fans would go, see, how do you like him now? I guess it's not such a big deal. And they could shut some people up or, you know, shape the narrative. And it's so easy to do. I'm stunned they haven't done it yet.
Okay, so
it tells you how deep the problems are that they haven't done it yet. But, oh, well, now they're all there tomorrow. So easy to put it in a nice little bow. Are they going to do that for you?
Okay, so my answer is no. Murray, what's your answer?
No, no shot.
Okay, and you've asked...
I say yes.
See, oftentimes when you ask a question, you never actually answer it.
So I'm saying yes, I think they will do it.
Okay,
but again, I thought Brady was going to show up 3 weeks ago because he couldn't help himself. I told you at the Super Bowl...
Okay, which part are they going to do?
All of it. All of it.
Make it look like they're staying together
all of
for
it.
The kids.
All of it.
You think they're going to man hug and dap?
Oh, no. Shake hands? Give us a picture. While those cameras are there, there's going to be Brady and Belichick together that's going to be where you're going to be able to put the headline to
Patriot Brodown.
Come together, right? Something. Something. Yes. But so I've been on the wrong side of this every step of the way. For people who think I'm just sitting here bashing, I said at the Super Bowl that they were going to come together and have a kumbaya and it's all going to be settled by the time we hit the offseason camps. And it didn't happen. And then the throwing camps happen. I said, well, Brady's going to show up for this. He's not going to wait for the mandatory stuff. He won't be able to help himself. He's going to show up. I told you that 2 weeks ago. Wrong. I've been on the wrong side of this the whole time because I can't believe that Brady blew off those passing camps. I can't believe they're still at odds to the point where they can't just put a happy face on it. I can't believe it.
I can't imagine that Bill Belichick is going to get in front of a microphone
and say something nice about his quarterback?
Yep. I can't imagine it.
Okay, I can.
It's just not who he is.
But I'll be wrong about this, too.
Not something that is contrived. So, you know, when I say contrived, anything that is forced, and because with Belichick, it'll come off that way. And in fact, the more I think about it, do they even handshake on the practice field, those two?
Why not?
Have they ever?
Sure. Bill goes around and sees guys and shakes hands. They can. Who, I don't care if they're doing them. If the cameras are on them, they could do anything that just sort of gives you a picture of them being together.
Yeah. You know what? I'm eager to see it now because I half wonder if they do it, just how staged it'll come off as. Like the spoken part of it?
So I don't care if it comes off as staged. At least get to the point where you're trying to shape the narrative as a team and trying to end the noise. Like, that's all.
I bet you Belichick will just do what he always does. The more I think about it, he will just do what he always does, which is go out and coach a team.
I don't care if you're being fake. I don't care if you're acting.
It's an easy thing to do.
What's best for the team? What's best for the team is to try and ignore the noise, end the noise, put an end to this, and at least put on the happy face for the cameras to end this. So just do that. And if they can't even do that, then what? Jeez. So anyway, back to your phones. As promised, Steve in Pawtucket. Go, Steve.
You guys remember Steve Grogan, how he ended up all taped up head to toe. I mean, maybe Brady's got that hand injury. He's trying to, repair whatever. He's starting to look like Grogan.
He's starting to look like Grogan? Are you kidding me?
And there it is, the worst take of the day.
With the horse collar and the whole nine yards?
Here's Ray and Revere waiting patiently on the Red Sox. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, guys, listen, I think the Red Sox have quite a bit this year, and they can contend. But, you know, they can't stand pat. Literally, they're not operating in a vacuum. The Yankees are playing 700 ball. You know, and my take on this Martinez deal, Ramirez, is I'm okay with them cutting him to get out of the $22 million if they use those resources to add to this year's roster. Okay, guys?
Okay, where do you want them to add?
I think they need to be adding bullpen, and they need to look at one of these bats. They're not getting much out of catcher or center field.
Okay, Maz, do they need a bat?
I mean, maybe. Maybe an end-of-the-order bat. It's not anything that I would make a priority at this stage. And they're not saving anything this year on Hanley. So when you say reallocate his resources, the money they save is in 2019. It's not this year. But in terms of their needs, yeah. I mean, they could use bullpen help for sure. I'm still not totally convinced that they won't need a starting pitcher. But we'll see how that goes.
Mike and Newberry, go ahead on the Patriots.
Listen, guys, so with Tom Brady, he's been shoving Aston Martins in my face 24/7 instead of shoving footballs in my face. The past 18 years, this guy has been preaching football nonstop. And now he's shoving Aston Martins in my face, trying to get me to buy this crap. That's not working for us now because this guy's not showing up because Giselle's not telling him to. What's happened to this guy?
Well, let's see, Mike.
I don't understand.
Let's see. We don't know how it's going to translate to the field yet. The approach is different. That's a fact. The approach is different. Can he still be the same player with a different approach? with less of an approach.
That guy's timeline is fuzzy, too. He's been pitching all this stuff that none of us can afford for the last few years, and he's won a couple of Super Bowls and won the MVP last
year. Okay, but he also attended every single offseason practice for four straight years, so he was doing both. Now he's still selling you the Aston Martin, but he's not showing up. Can he still be the same player? Let's see. One says he's going to suck, but can he be the same guy?
Yeah, I just have a hard time buying Brady's excuses for not being here. Because he's done all the stuff in the past, and all of a sudden this year he's not. It's about his relationship with the team.
Darnell and Quincy on LeBron. Hi, Darnell.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I just want to say thank you, Tony, for using your head on this LeBron situation. Do you guys realize the entire operation would change if you brought LeBron to Boston? And Brad Stevens is big on no one player being bigger than the entire operation and what he has going on in Boston.
No. You know why he says that? Because he doesn't have a superstar yet. And when Kyrie was here, and if he was here, what do you think would have happened in Game 7? You think they still would have been doing the picket fence and the circle, the three-point line, when you ring around the rosy?
And boys, don't get caught watching the paint dry.
when they had the mouthy little peanut, and he was taking over at the end of games, were they passing it around the three-point line and letting everyone get their shots in?
No.
Make sure Baines gets one.
Isaiah Thomas was waving the coach off. That's what was happening.
Well, but Stevens let it happen. So when they get their true superstar, their true guy that takes over at the end of games, you better believe Brad Stevens is going to let him have his space.
Brad would totally defer to LeBron if LeBron came here.
Absolutely.
LeBron's a different culture, though, man. He is. It's a different kind of animal.
You don't
with
think
him.
LeBron could buy in at this stage of his career?
Nope.
At the very end?
Nope.
Oh, I need it. Jimmy, put it out there that you believe this is happening, will you? Please.
I don't want to lose my credibility.
No, I just need it for the laughs.
If I have any.
So again, this would make so many people so mad.
Well, and don't misinterpret. Like, I got nothing against him bringing LeBron here. I'm just telling you, from your standpoint. Like, you know, to see Celtics fans twisted up into a knot, that would be kind of fun.
Tremendous.
I would enjoy that. I would take my pants off if that happened.
But if you're not moving Brown and Tatum, too, like, you're going to win a title with this guy in the next few years if you got him here.
Yeah, the window's longer with Kyrie. It's longer with Kyrie.
If he holds up physically.
Agreed. That's a factor. But what I know is LeBron's not going to be what he is in 5 years either.
But if you have Tatum and Brown to go with LeBron, you still have that window. There are 20 to 30 good point guards in the NBA. You can find another one.
No, I disagree. The Kyrie's window is longer than LeBron's. It's longer than LeBron's. I just, you know, now whether he stays healthy is a different animal or a different question. But his window is longer than LeBron's.
Here's an update, then back with more on a re-entry Monday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's all but academic now. 18 seconds left. The puck to the left side. And a head down to Reeves. Into the left corner. He gets hit again by Matt Niskanen. 10 seconds to go. Washington looking to clear as Beagle is knocked down. And a puck to Marchessault to nobody. And it'll leave the zone. And that's it. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good night, Vegas. Washington is two wins away from the Stanley Cup. They defeat the Knights 3-1 here at Capital One Arena.
All right, game four tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Nice open window. I don't got to keep an eye on a Red Sox game. I'm not an NBA game. Just a Stanley Cup Finals. Boom, that's it.
Right. Nice and simple.
Is tonight the night that it finally strikes midnight for Vegas? The clock strikes midnight. Is that it?
I think it already has. I've already resigned myself to the fact that this loser team is going to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God. So wait a minute. You're buying in on the Caps?
I am. Yeah, they got the look.
You're not leaving open the possibility for one more grand joke on the grandest scale?
No.
You don't.
Dude, Ovechkin's getting better by the game as this playoffs go on. It's ridiculous.
There's no question. He's the best he's ever played.
I've been dug in because I just want to have, you know, my sports schadenfreude. I want all my Capitals fans to be upset. I hate the hashtag Caps year, all this stuff. I can admit, at least when I'm wrong on this one, I'm not acquiescing on the soft 51 from LeBron. But this, no, the Capitals are winning this series. See, like, it already feels like it's over.
I thought you were going to ask a different question. I thought you were going to say, is this the night where the Washington Capitals crap their pants?
I don't think it's over by a long stretch. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's still so much time and opportunity for the Capitals to crap themselves.
Oh, yeah. No. This thing's nowhere near over.
I don't trust those guys at 3-1.
No. It's not over. It's not over yet. No way. I mean, you know how this goes. You get to this level, and the balance is so delicate that just that little extra 10% you need, you know, to be desperate can make the difference in the game. I don't think this thing's over. No way. No way is it over.
Okay, so there's just a little hockey minute for you. We're going to wrap it up with your phone calls here before we hit the final word. Mike's in Woburn. How you doing, Mikey?
Good. Kelly Sutherland reffing tonight, so anything can happen, Jim.
There you go.
Anything can happen. Listen, I don't like LeBron. I'm not a LeBron fan. If you got LeBron James for nothing except money, you do it every time.
Yes.
Even in the twilight of his career. Because I know you're talking about, oh, the window is you know, wider with Kyrie. It's a longer window to win. Well, guess what? If you give Danny Kyrie Irving as a trade chip, he's going to bilk somebody else and extend that window with, God knows, half a decade worth of picks and players and whatnot. And you have LeBron James with, you know, all these guys. And I know Brad Stevens likes to run the picket fence, but the picket fence seemed to run better with Jimmy Chetwood than it did without him, right?
Exactly, Mike. That's very big of you, because I know you, on your list of guys that you hate, LeBron is right there with Peyton Manning, but at least Mike's proven to be a big man there, that you just have to take the talent, Maz. And the thing is, and again, I mean, are we talking like this is at all realistic?
No, I'm just telling you, I don't have to do anything. I'm not giving up the 8 years of Kyrie, or, you know, in age difference, Kyrie Irving for LeBron James. Not at this age. I'm not doing it. And LeBron, to me, one of the big drawbacks of him is that he is the whole operation. Kyrie hated that in Cleveland.
Okay, so, and I understand that.
And I don't blame him.
You don't think there's a chance that LeBron at this stage, at the end, where he's got to go somewhere to match Golden State, is going to subjugate himself? I mean, he's, Maz, on the floor, he's happy to be just one of the guys.
Sure.
He's not a ball. We're not talking like Carmelo Anthony and one of these guys that's got to get all of his shots.
No, he makes other people better.
Yeah, LeBron's not that player. So, you know, on the floor, he'd be happy to
pass,
fit a role.
Sure.
Right? So,
although, does the offense have to start with him?
No, I mean,
it might be your best route, so it's sort of, you know, one and the same. I mean, if the best option is to give LeBron the ball and then have him facilitate, then that's what you do. I'm just telling you that LeBron's getting up there, man. This is about where they start to fade. And I know he looks like Superman right now.
Well, Cedric Maxwell made a great point to me on TV last night. He said this is going to catch up to LeBron. What he's doing right now is going to shorten his career. You may not see it now. You may not see it next year. But if he was going to play to 36, it's now going to be 35. If it's going to be 37, it's now going to be 36. Because playing 46 minutes a night or whatever he's doing, he says that is going to absolutely, at the end, take a toll.
I mean, again, we looked it up. This is about the age where Jordan sort of said, that's it. And I don't think it's that unusual, right? When, you know, Garnett started to really tail off right at about this age. And so now I sound like I'm talking about Brady again. But Kyrie's 26, and he's not perfect either. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of how the Celtics want to do it, Kyrie's a better fit.
You'll come around, Maz.
I just wonder where Gorman was coming from there. You know, what was the line? Not a guarantee either way what happens with Kyrie here long term?
Correct.
Where is that coming from?
I don't know. It is interesting, though.
Jamie and Clinton on Brady. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, you keep saying that Brady wants to have more fun. I think he was misquoted by his wife. He just doesn't want to be miserable.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
Yeah, he doesn't want Belichick rewinding and showing all his mistakes over and over again. And
okay, well, that, though, but Jamie, doesn't he have to accept that? He always has, and it's really important for any team. When your best player's willing to take that, that means that everyone else has to be able to take it. That's how the whole thing works. Like, I don't want him reversing course on that either.
It sounds like Belichick's gone above and beyond on him since the Garoppolo trade.
Well, he probably does. He probably does. Bill might treat Brady or come down harder on Brady than he does on the other guys. But again, there's a reason there that if that guy then can take it, that his control over the rest of the team and the message is even stronger. It's been a huge part of their success. And now Brady's not willing to take it?
See, to me, if it's gotten to this stage and all of a sudden Bill has to change who he is, well, then Tom wins and everybody sees it. All the guys who are there every day knows that he's had his nuts cut off by the quarterback. Like, that's not going to work, because then other guys are going to think they can get away with it. Guys like Gronk, Edelman. Like, they're all going to start pulling the same crap. So listen, I believe in Brady's, you know, I say contribution. That's not fair. I put more weight on Brady versus Belichick when it comes to the overall success of the operation. But the coach has to have the power. He has to.
Pete in Milton with the Red Sox thought. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Tony, did you, I'm guessing you caught Xander's base running blunder last night?
Horrendous.
Between these guys on the base pass, between them, you know, pooping their pants in, it's almost like overcorrection. They're almost trying to prove to us that, hey, we can do this. As a fan, it's especially aggravating because relative to the balance of the game, you know, this base running, you know, that's something I can do. That's something we can do. It's brutal to watch. And two, Benintendi, thank goodness he's hitting all these home runs because he doesn't have to worry about getting thrown out.
Yeah, I know, man. Maz, Benintendi's still aggravating you.
Oh, gosh, he drives him bananas. Totally. Again, that play in the left field corner last night where the ball landed on the line, and it wasn't a horrible play. And look, I'd be afraid of running into a wall, too. Don't get me wrong. It gave Hanley Ramirez problems. It ended Blake Swihart's stint in left field. So I get it. Something about Benintendi bugs the crap out of me. He just feels like a cocky little dink. That's what he feels like. And if he's jacking balls into the seats, that's fine. Like, you know, but he's been hot for what, a month here? And all of a sudden now he's Bryce Harper? Like, yeah, just something about his body language bugs the crap out of me. George, and the base running with him is, again, he runs like his hair's on fire.
George in Medford on the Pats. Hi, George.
How's it going, buddy?
Good. What do you got?
I just want to give you a couple of stats. I want to bring up Brissett versus Jimmy G and Belichick getting rid of both quarterbacks, which was kind of weird to me because Brissett played well. He played 1.5 games, threw for 400 yards. Jimmy G played 2.5 games, threw for 500 yards. And then Brissett went to a crappy team and threw for over 3,000 yards and 13 touchdowns with Indy. And he had no team around him, but yet Belichick still got rid of both of guys and didn't even keep one of them as a backup.
Well, so you know why, George, right? I mean, you know why he traded the third guy.
Brissett, you mean?
Yeah. He traded the third guy because he thought he was going to be able to keep the second guy. If Belichick knew, he would have been forced to trade Garoppolo. He's not trading Brissett. That was another tell. That's another giveaway that it wasn't Bill's call. He wouldn't have traded Brissett if that were the case. You hang on to that cheap guy that you drafted and are developing. And I don't believe in Brissett. I think, you know, he did more than I thought he was going to do. And Vinny, thank you for putting that up. I want to talk about that in a second. Brissett did more than I thought he could do, but I still don't think Brissett's going to be a high-end quality starter in the league. I think he's a career backup.
I never felt that way about Brissett. I mean, I never felt like Brissett was going to be anything special. I'm not saying I didn't like him as a, you know, competitor and all that other stuff, but hell, they ran a high school offense when he was on the field as a starter.
Real quick on NBC Sports Boston. So Gronkowski's reporting next tomorrow. He's reported today to the fantasy camp. He did a charity thing where he met with the media and spoke and da-da-da and posed for pictures. And there's a picture of him flexing, Maz. And if you haven't seen this yet, just go home and Google it. His arms are absurdly huge and ripped and cut, like I've never seen. Why give me that look?
I was just thinking of Giancarlo Stanton, but go ahead.
I don't know if he's got arms like that. And it just makes you wonder, well, at, you know, maybe the bands and all the resistance training is for the lower body, but you don't get arms like that with rubber bands. I'm sorry.
No, he was training with the wrestler, Mojo, for most of the offseason.
Those are still weights.
That's a good program they have there.
Whatever he's got going on, would you look at that? Like, look at that muscle right there, that thing.
I didn't even know that existed.
Look at
Can't
that.
Hear you when you're talking.
That one popping out of his elbow.
I know. But look at that. There's a thing there towards his elbow that I didn't even know.
Right. Yeah, the bicep, the tricep, I understand that, but whatever that is coming out of the elbow, like,
holy,
I don't know if I've ever seen
smokes.
That before.
Gronk's in his upper body has muscles coming out of places I didn't know existed.
Yeah, muscles coming out of muscles.
So good for him. God bless.
Did you catch the shot at the end of this post, though?
No, what is it?
Hashtag positive vibes only. Now, if you...
Hashtag positive vibes only with this crap. I just want to have fun. I'm so sick of this.
Now, a lot of people could look at this and say, hey, you know, he was doing a good charity event here for the kids, and it just could be about positive vibes for the kids here and what he's doing. But I look at this, and that sticks out to me as, yep, I'm going to be showing up. But again, Bill, better be positive vibes only if you want me at my best, right? Huh? Because you're a negative a-hole, and I'm sick of the way that you're running this club, just like Tom is. We only want hashtag positive vibes only.
And he also does make an allusion to his erotic arms. What these erotic arms are going to do. I think that's not a bad word.
Those are erotic arms. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like,
I mean, what's the value of strong arms in football? Ball security?
I don't care. They just look great.
I mean, come to think of it, his biceps have looked inflated as... Oh, no, that's the other way around.
Like, just look at those. You wouldn't want to grab on and just have him lift you, you know, with one arm? Even I would be into that.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Excuse me, nobody.
So you have somebody you'd like to go to, Mike?
So Maz doesn't want LeBron James. Jermaine in East Boston, how do you feel about that?
Listen, Felger, I would ask you, but I'm going to ask Big Jim Murray. Lean over, smack Maz in the back of his head, and stick a sock in his mouth. He's an idiot. Because, listen, if you could flip Kyrie Irving, I love Kyrie Irving, but if you could flip him and Jason Tatum to New Orleans for Anthony Davis, LeBron's got a good 4 or 5 more years left in him. Maz is nuts. He's the best player on the planet. I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy for another 4 or 5 years.
Jermaine, quick question.
Yeah.
When you smack someone in the back of the head like that, what's it called?
Hit him with a nice Jaquanda.
A right Jaquanda. What does that right mean? Where is that from? Is that Italian? Is that Eastie? What is that?
That's an East Boston thing. A nice fresh one. A 4-finger discount right on the back of his melon.
That's known as a Jaquanda.
A Jaquanda.
A Jaquanda.
Yeah. Yo, Wiggy tells me I'm stupid. What was his thing for the field goal again?
It was a 53-yarder for 4 points.
That's right. It was the extra point, not the field goal.
This was the extra point. 53-yard, 4-pointer.
And I'm the idiot.
Right, that's right. I forgot about that.
All right. Well, we did have this also from Maz today, and there'll probably be more of this coming up in the Baseball Reporter starting at 6 o'clock. Maz!
Shell of ourselves!
Not jealous of Andrew Benintendi. He just hates Andrew Benintendi and his swagger.
What have you done yet? What allows you to act the way you act? Like, the whole body language on that guy just oozes cocky dink to me. It just oozes cocky little dink. And so whenever there's an the base running drives me bananas, because a guy of his ability should be a better base runner than he is. And then on top of it, that ball in the left field corner last night bugged the crap out of me, too. And it was at the start
the one that hit the foul line?
Yeah, exactly. Who hit that? Gurriel, Jimmy? Was he the one? Hit the ball down in the left field corner. Benintendi ran into that corner to make the play.
It was foul, don't you think?
I thought it was fair. I thought it hit the line. But that aside, like, what bugged me about it is Benintendi should have some experience of going into a corner like that. That corner's not terribly different than Fenway.
He started to pussyfoot it into the... He's become a little more cautious out there. Pussyfoot. Remember the catch he had in Tampa as a
yes,
rookie?
Yes, he's half bent over the wall when he caught the thing.
He goes flying into that picnic area. Like,
yes.
Brilliant catch, like reckless. Now I feel like he's sort of mamby-pamby out there.
Okay, so again, I don't know why, but on that play, he definitely eased up going into the corner. And the left field corner in that ballpark, not terribly different than Fenway Park. The sidewall's not quite as high, but same idea, you're running into a closed corner. Okay, and so he did. He eased up. Ball hit the line. He then, to me, sort of took his time throwing the ball in, but whatever, got it in. Didn't cost him an extra base or anything of the like. But then he's out there sort of arguing with the umpire. And I'm thinking, just make the play. Shut up. The ball hit the line, I thought. And so instead of arguing with the umpire, because what I think he was really agitated was about is maybe he didn't think the ball was going to be in play. And ultimately, it landed fair, and maybe he thought he looked like a jackass on top of it. So I respect his ability. I'm finding him to be a hard player to like.
It is more fun with the music from the Nationals.
Oh my God, so great.
It'd be nice to get like James Earl Jones to talk about Andrew Benintendi just using Maz's lines.
I like the This Week in Baseball theme better.
Yeah, that one's
it's
funny.
All good.
The one constant, Ray, is that Andrew Benintendi is an a-hole.
He's a dink, Ray.
Yeah.
This guy, this tool, he's a part of this team, unfortunately, Ray.
America's rolled by like an army of steamrollers, Ray. But Andrew Benintendi is a giant dink. Felger and Maz.